This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris, it was broached there before, and it's something that's fascinated me. What proportion of UFO sightings do you think are really test aircraft of some sort?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, we know out of the 20,000 cases that we have that we're only looking at a small percentage that are residual unexplained, and that probably is like 1, 2, 3%, something like that. And of those, is it possible that some are test aircraft? Now, I know that when I was working for the Department of National Defense in Canada, I didn't have a very high security clearance, but I did have access to some stuff that showed that there were some tests being done over Canadian soil that could have been things that could be misinterpreted as UFOs. No question of that. And there's great anecdotal stories about how cruise missiles were tested over Canada in the Arctic and things like that, because the presumption was nobody's going to see them and, who's going to care. So, we do know that things are tested all the time. The pumpkin seed aircraft was tested out of Groom Lake many, many years before stealth was even talked about. I suspect that, some are. I know there was a claim by some people numbers of years ago that said that the CIA tests of various aircraft explained a lot of UFO reports. Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think a lot could be explained. I think some could be explained. In one of the documents that I found, and there's actually photographs that we found as well, a U-2 crashed and had to make an emergency landing in Canada. This was about the same year, I think about 1960, probably same year as Francis Gary Powers, which everybody heard about. But you never heard about the UFO that crashed in, the U-2 that crashed in Saskatchewan. They were flying the U-2 all over the place. And could that have been, misinterpreted as a UFO? Probably. And those are just the things that we know about. So I suspect there's a lot of military activity that could be misinterpreted as UFOs and reported as UFOs. But the fact that we can explain a lot of UFO reports without invoking military aircraft or test satellites or whatever shows that it's not really as much as you might think. So I wouldn't be at all surprised that some are UFOs, but I don't see a lot of military aircraft and vehicles explained as UFOs.
Yeah, we had the SR-71, of course. That was, but most of those type of reports turned out to be radar reports. In other words, that they'd come in from a radar operator. Nobody actually saw them. They just saw this incredibly fast track coming in and had no way to explain it because, of course, it was on a secret mission.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Robertson briefing, not the Robertson panel, but the Robertson briefing, the one from Canada, listed, I think, 6 cases which were listed as unexplained by National Defense. And one of them was a series of radar reports from Milner Ridge. And the radar operators, there's statements from the radar operators that said, we checked our equipment, we checked everything, and there was definitely something that was flying overhead at ridiculous speeds and went through several sweeps and so forth. And we have no idea what these things were. That was in the National Defense Report. So we know that there are things flying over there. Now, would that have been an American test vehicle? Maybe, but, in the military, you would have thought that there would have been some notice, and sharing of information between Canada and the United States. Although, we do have the history of the Skyhook balloon that was being operated by the U.S. Navy that Thomas Mantell was sent up to the chase, and he eventually died because the U.S. Navy was not sharing information with the United States Air Force. You know, compartmentalization of information might explain some of what's going on. On the other hand, you know, there are some fascinating cases of things buzzing airfields and, you know, in the case of the Nimitz and other ships, something zipping along. So are they incursions by military tests or something else? Until we get the information, I don't think we can say, you know, for sure that it's alien.
Right. But I think we can say that some of them are, but we don't know which ones.
Well, yeah, and some people say if one is, then that's enough. I think that's true. If one of these can be shown, you know, that would be great. But you tell me which one.
That's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm an unashamed believer. I've seen one myself. There is no way that this thing could have been produced by our technology. From what I've been able to ascertain just through study and looking at what is possible aerodynamically. So, okay, I can't prove it. How many other witnesses are out there? I can't be the only one who's seen one of these things. I would have to be completely egotistical to think I'm the only person in the world who's actually seen one. Therefore, from my perspective, some of these other people must also be telling the truth. And I think they're educated enough to know the difference. But I guess going back to my original question is, well, okay, so we have those kind of reports, and then we have these other ones of very exotic aircraft and black projects, two entirely separate things. I wonder if the powers that be that know more about the alien craft really know all that much more than we do. Like, where they come from, like you were saying, okay, maybe they come from another planet, but I wonder if even they know that.
I agree. And the assumption there is that, you know, the Air Force or CIA or whatever must know more about what's going on. And what we found from reading through the documentation that's available through Blue Book and in Canadian archives and other archives from around the world is that it doesn't look like the military really knew what was going on. In fact, they were often being very deceptive in what they were releasing to the public because they didn't want to give the impression that they didn't know what was going on in the sense that, you know, well, if the head of the Air Force was to come out on TV and say, you know, their UFOs are flying over our skies and we have no idea what they are and what's powering them and what's behind them. I mean, you don't want to hear that. What you want to hear is, we know what's going on. We're handling it. You can trust us, which you can't or whatever. But, you know, to admit that they don't know what's going on would be very, very bad in terms of PR. So instead, they go through some sort of military PR campaign to discredit and to explain away. And in a way, even Alan Hynek was talking about how he was being urged to explain things as much as possible, even cases that weren't explainable, because he was under pressure from the Air Force. You just have to explain all these things. You can't leave these unknowns around because it gives the impression that the Air Force isn't in control, and you can't do that.
Well, of course, the Robertson panel, too, they had the recommendations that it just wasn't good for national security because it had the potential to clog up the lines of communication. So they really didn't want everybody out there having a flying saucer UFO fever, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree completely. Because, you know, UFOs are – if a UFO is seen, though, the assumption is that you know, that argument is that people will, you know, jam the phone lines and so forth. Well, there have been experiments. And again, I refer to the Canadian ones because we know those so much better, where a lighted balloon was sent over a football stadium. And I'm trying to remember, was this 66, 68, something like that? To see whether people would, you know, freak out and report UFOs were flying over the football stadium.
before advertisers freak out. And I freak out. Chris, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
No more freakouts. Chris Rutkowski's with us. I'm Gene. He's Randall. Chris, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was referring to an experiment where the military sent a UFO, a fake UFO, over a football stadium during a game when the stadium was packed with thousands of people to see what would happen, and nobody reported seeing it. would it really happen that phone lines would be jammed, where there would be this terrible, you know, overwhelming amount of reaction to UFOs if they were seen and allowed to be reported? I'm not sure. You know, we're living in the Steven Spielberg generation right now, where, and we started talking about pop culture, we're used to seeing aliens on TV all the time. It's no big deal. Spaceships traveling between the stars, we've had Star Trek, Star Wars, and so forth. Again, no big deal. So we were visualizing, or able to visualize through special effects, what an encounter with aliens would look like. A lot of people are probably less interested than one might think, because we would expect certainly much more. There's a great cartoon by a British cartoonist. A flying saucer comes down, and out comes a bunch of aliens, but all the aliens are dressed in three-piece suits, bowler hats, and carrying briefcases. And the people who are witnessing this said, you know, I really expected something else from these guys.
Yeah. Well, the Robertson panel was back in the 50s, and I think we've come a long way since then. Probably our fiction, you know, you guys are really riffing on the pop culture of some of the superhero stuff. The stuff that we see on the big screen today is probably far more spectacular than what the reality is of whatever these alien craft are. We're not entirely sure where they come from, exactly how they're made, and so on, but they're almost boring in comparison.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's true, although, you know, some cases deserve a little more attention. I mean, Travis Walton's case, fascinating case. You know, he's doing a lecture circuit now too, and hadn't been around for some time. And when the movie Fire in the Sky came out, I was with I might have been president of the local science fiction society at the time, and was also involved in UFO investigation. So I got an invite with my group to the premiere of Fire in the Sky. We all went to it, and then we were given an exit poll on the way out, and we panned it. We said, you know, it was an interesting story, but then the ending really, really sucked because it didn't follow the testimony by Walton at all. It sort of veered off in all these giant slime pods and things like that that weren't part of the original story. I mean, they had everything right up until then, until he woke up on the spaceship, and you know, the story is so fantastic, it didn't need any embellishment, but Hollywoodized it. And so we gave it I wrote a scathing review. A couple of days later, Mark Roediger, or it might have been Jerry Clark, actually, of QFOS, contacted me saying he got a call from somebody in Hollywood who wanted to know who wrote the bad review of the film, because they had heard this Chris Rakowski guy was from Canada and that he have a contact information for me. And so he gave them my phone number, and I had a phone call from Tracy Torme himself. And Tracy said, you know, he was beside himself. He says, why did you write such a bad review? We worked so hard. We went into such great detail to recreate everything, and we rewrote the script, and, you know, we did so much. And I said, well, you know, the ending sucked. And we argued for about an hour, and by the end of the hour, he was agreeing with me. Yeah, we had to rewrite because, you know, Close Encounters had just come out, and the aliens looked like, you know, the standard aliens, and, you know, the producer wanted something different, so we turned the aliens to something completely different and rewrote the ending. You know, because it was boring. People had already seen E.T. and Close Encounters and a few others. When Fire in the Sky came out, well, you can't have the same aliens. You have to have something original. You know, I'm wondering how much, you know, embellishment there will be going on in the future when people are trying to explain or portray alien invasions, when, you know, maybe it's a little more benign. I don't know. It's interesting to speculate.
What the witnesses are reporting are pretty fantastic in terms of our actual real lived experience. There's no question about that. But let's say maybe what you think of this idea, that the Department of Defense, if we know they're real, well, they must know they're real too. Now, that means that they've got all the detection equipment. They've got the F-15s to try to chase them and take pictures. They've got satellites that are in orbit out past the moon that can monitor all of this stuff. We're talking about billions of dollars of monitoring equipment. But the average citizen doesn't have access to that because it's secret. Now, if they start telling us all about what they know, people are going to start asking questions. How do they know that? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be saying, well, that's classified, because the same types of detection equipment that are used to detect whether or not we've got some enemy coming in over the border from this planet are the same ones that is going to be detecting wherever these alien craft come from. And so by saying how they were able to detect that, they might be giving away some sort of other classified information.
Yeah, and in fact, I have no problem with a lot of UFO reports being classified, because I can see where UFOs seen while combat troops are on missions, we should not have access to those cases. I mean, I know there's this big push for disclosure and all that sort of stuff, but military sightings, I can see where we would not have the right to see those. We could put troops in danger if they, you know, that they're on a mission in a particular location that they shouldn't be. I can see where some cases just should be classified. I think that's to expect a lot of UFO information to be declassified is pretty unrealistic.
But then again, how are they going to get it out to us? If there were a way to get it out to us, how could it be done then in a way that would satisfy the skeptics? Unless we have, of course, say, a craft that can be looked at. But even then, if they got their hands on one of those, they'd have that kind of technology would be as classified above even their most classified technology that they've already got. So what are the chances of us ever seeing something material, even if they do get it?
That's a really good point. I mean, it's true. I know people are still trying to find, you know, documents related to Roswell. If there really was a crash and it was covered up, you know, those documents, you're never going to find them, period. They're just not going to be found. If they haven't been shredded, and there's one copy, one binder, you know, locked in a room in Wright-Patterson or some other base, and that's it, you're just never going to get access to those. So to say that, you know, we're going to get the documents released that prove things once and for all, I don't think that's reasonable. I don't see that happening.
So we have Gene, Randall, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The FBI is investigating the attack on a Pittsburgh synagogue that left 11 people dead as a hate crime. Bob Jones, the head of the FBI field office in Pittsburgh, says the mass shooting is heinous.
This is the most horrific crime scene I've seen in 22 years with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Members of the Tree of Life Synagogue, conducting a peaceful service in their place of worship, were brutally murdered by a gunman targeting them simply because of their faith.
Pittsburgh Public Safety Director Wendell Hisrich says law enforcement was quick to the scene.
Multiple agencies responded to this incident
And without their courage, this tragedy would have been far worse. Those include numerous state, county, and federal agencies, as well as neighboring EMS services, along with the city of Pittsburgh.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention! Sorry I'm talking a little loud because I want to reach people with a hearing problem. Do you want to hear better for just $299? Yes, not thousands, but for $299. You can hear all the sounds you've been missing for years. Hearing Help Express has been helping people hear better, selling top quality hearing aids for over 30 years. Now is your best chance to hear better with hearing aids for $299 with our free 45-day home trial offer. And you don't even need to leave your home or get a hearing test. Call now to start your free 45-day risk-free home trial offer. All it takes is a free hearing consultation. Learn how Hearing Help Express can improve the quality of your life with better hearing. Call now.
800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. 800-516-7448. That's 800-516-7448.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Fake news. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we see so much of it. I mean, people say, oh, well, the hoaxes are in the minority. But when... how many fake YouTube videos are there? Thousands? I mean, it's no lot. The fake videos are hoaxes.
If I see another video from Secure Team 10, I'm just going to, you know, throw my laptop out the window because it's just, you just don't need that sort of thing. I mean, there certainly are thousands of them. And we have been including YouTube videos in the Canadian UFO survey for a number of years now because, I mean, people will take videos of something and upload it, and you know, that's how they make their reports. You know, we are including that, but I mean, some of the stuff that's produced by the obvious, you know, hoax YouTube sites and channels are pretty obvious. I mean, it's no brainers in a lot of that stuff. What's really interesting is, you know, if you get a report from somebody who really doesn't post a lot, and they say, you know, I've never posted anything before, and me and my partner were driving along, and we saw this. I pulled up my camera, and this thing was right there. I took the video, and I posted it. I have no idea what this was. Those are the interesting cases. And if the person is willing to be interviewed, and this is one of the unfortunate things, because people are posting anonymously quite a bit, and you really can't track them down for further questioning to try and get more details. But if they are willing to be interviewed and they're willing to come forward with more details, and you can, you know, if it's possible to go with them to where it happened and look at the site and so forth, you can do some pretty decent investigations and get a lot of information. I mean, we have some fairly good ideas of what a proper UFO investigation should look like. I hope that the standards and the detail of the investigations that are being done by groups like the TTSA or ATIP or OFSA or whatever are of that caliber. Because if it's just sort of arm-waving arguments, it's not really useful to me. I want to know, you know, what, when did it happen? Well, you know, how long was this thing seen in the sky? What direction was it? How do you know it wasn't a plane? How do you know it wasn't a drone? Can you compare it to anything? There's a whole series of things. I mean, even the MUFON investigators checklist is goes on for pages and pages, and I've seen some versions of other organizations that go through the weather at the time and the people's grandmother's maiden names, and you know, there's, it goes on forever in terms of detail, some of which might be interesting. In fact, one of the biggest problems with UFO data is you don't know what's important. Is it important that the moon was in the sky at the time? Is it important that, you know, the wind was blowing from the northeast? You know, what is it important that the witness was, you know, within 10 kilometers of a nuclear plant? What is important in all of this? I mean, there is it, what's his name, Wheats or Weens, who collects the UFO cases from water that are over water or in water? Interesting, very, very interesting subset. And is a UFO report, you know, of a UFO seen over a lake, different in any way from a UFO seen over a mountain or a field? And what are the characteristics, and why should it be different? There's a lot of questions that could be asked, and a lot of investigation details that are needed. And it's something that I see lacking greatly in ufology today. And it's too bad, because there's so much that could be done. But as you mentioned, right, Randall, that, you know, we just don't have the funds. We don't have the resources. We simply can't do that ourselves. In fact, in Canada, we're lucky to have one UFO investigator per province, if that. So one UFO investigator covering the size of, you know, or an area the size of, let's say, Texas. That certainly doesn't work. You know, we'd love to have more people, but we just don't have the resources.
You're also part of Winnipeg Paranormal. So you're not just interested in UFOs. You're actually connected with a group of people that look into other strange phenomena as well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. When I started investigating back in the 70s, and yes, I've been doing this a long, long time, people would come up to me after a talk or a presentation, and they say, you know, I didn't see a UFO, but, you know, I was in my living room and I thought that I saw this ghostly figure walk by the hallway, and that night I heard that my grandmother died, and, you know, things like that. They would offer these things, and people were telling me about Sasquatch reports and lake monster sightings and all sorts of strange phenomena. So I started out as a true Fortean. In fact, my first book that was published on natural history, it covers all types of Fortean phenomena. And it just became a little bit too overbearing that there's just, I mean, the UFO subset by itself is so large, I can't keep up with it. So to cover all the other ones, I tend to have to refer them to other people. But for some time, I was going into haunted houses and attending seances and out on lakes looking for lake monsters and tromping around the bush with hunters who swore that they had seen Sasquatch and so forth. You know, I've kept up my interest. I have quite a good collection of you know, hauntings and ghost sightings and things like that in Canada. As a matter of fact, on Halloween, I've been asked to give a presentation about spooky places in Canada, and you know, I'm working on the PowerPoint for that one. But yeah, I started out like that. And when the Winnipeg Paranormal Group started up, they asked me, as a good paranormal group should, they did their research and looked into who might have been investigating and studying paranormal phenomena and hauntings before they came around, and asked me for some advice, and I worked with them setting up some things and gave them some ideas, and I went out with them on some haunting investigations, and, you know, to see all the technology, because back when I started, and I'm sounding like my own grandpa now, but, you know, back when I started, we didn't have any of these fancy devices, you know. But sure, you know, it was interesting to do, and I still am an advisor for the group.
Some of them are there. They seem to be quite a range here. That we've got of ages. We've got some young people and some more seasoned people and more experienced people like yourself. How do you like working with the younger people?
It's good, although I have to tell you that, you know, the issue with the younger people is that they don't have the experience in knowing previous history. You know, I'll have somebody, you know, for example, say, hey, you know, we have this great case and, you know, it's in this particular house and it sounds really good. And I said, well, yeah, we looked into that case, you know, 20 years ago and this is what we found, you know. If they get a little ahead of themselves sometime without doing their research, and I understand the enthusiasm. I mean, there's a Paracon that I usually go to in Minnesota every year. I didn't go this year.
Yes, we'll find out what he does, how he gets there, and it's not by UFO. No, Chris Rutkowski is not flying to Minnesota and back on a UFO or even a Stargate. You know, neighbors, the Paracast is not the only thing we do here. Of course, we have the other radio show, the Tech Night Out Live, but we also offer a special feature called Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus is a special subscription service where we also offer the After the Paracast podcast. What's that? Well, it can be a wrap-up show. It can be a continuation of the regular episode of the Paracast. And that happens more often these days where a guest will stick around for us for another 30, 40, 50 minutes of more chatter. Like, for example, this week, Chris Rutkowski will return for After the Paracast. You also get a version of this show free of the network ads, copied right off the master recording for the best quality. To learn more about it, just check out plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. Chris Rutkowski, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day. Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind that is here to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com now to find out more. That's GCNLife.com. And start your day off with an open mind.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Minnesota, huh?
Minnesota Paracon. First time I went there, Stan Friedman was speaking. They had some of the cast members from Walking Dead. I mean, it was a huge car. They had 5,000 people at this thing. It was just amazing. And it's in literally the middle of nowhere. It's like equidistant between Fargo and Grand Forks. It's very strange, very, very strange. But, you know, they had an interest in UFOs and paranormal phenomena. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lauren Coleman, the cryptozoologist, the Sasquatch hunter, was speaking there as well. And there is overlap. I mean, there's a case that I recall here in Manitoba where a couple had seen a very large UFO. They described it as a Ferris wheel in the sky, something very, very saucer-shaped with lights all around the edge and spokes and so forth. When I went to talk to them, I sort of said as part of the investigation, well, did anything else strange ever been seen around here? And they said, oh, yeah, it's the funniest thing. You know, there was a Sasquatch report the same night that we saw this. And I went and talked, and it was about 10 miles away that somebody had seen a Sasquatch. You know, they're sitting on their porch facing some woods, and a Sasquatch sort of walked out of the woods into the light and walked out again. You know, there is this overlap, and what's curious is where that occurred was only a matter of 20 miles or so from a very haunted location where spook lights were often seen. So you get these overlaps, and that really suggests that the various kinds of phenomena are related to each other somehow. And I'm not sure how. It could be complete coincidence, because we know that sightings of UFOs are related to population. You know, when trees are falling in the forest, you need somebody to hear them. So if a UFO is in the sky, you need someone to be in the area to see it, to report it. I suspect the same is true of Sasquatch and ghosts and so forth. So it could be simply coincidence rather than, and some of the books that I've seen recently that Bigfoot are the alien pets that aliens let out of their saucers when they land. And I don't see the connection as strongly as that, but you know, it's interesting to speculate. That's for sure.
Yeah, we had Professor Paul Kingsbury on the show not long ago.
Yeah.
And that's really good interview there. And he also tends to think that there is this overlap and a possible connection between all of the different phenomena. If we were to say, allow ourselves to go out on a limb a bit, what would be your sort of favorite pet theory as to what we're dealing with?
In terms of all of the phenomena?
Well, if we could put it together somehow. Yeah. I mean, we've got aliens, we've got cryptids, we've got portals, we've got levitation, we've got psychic phenomena. Is there is there a way it could all be put together into a working theory that makes any sense at all?
Yeah, I had a great conversation with Paul at the International UFO Congress. You know, he's been doing some fascinating work, and I look forward to seeing more of his work. But he approaches it from a sociological and a religious standpoint, and if I was going to be connecting all the types of phenomena, I'd have to say something along those lines, that each of the types of phenomena are very humanistic, very personal, very intimate. A UFO is seen by somebody and it may transform his or her life. A person sees a ghost or experiences a haunting, and it's important to them and makes a profound impact on them. Somebody stumbles upon a clearing and sees a Sasquatch walk across the clearing. It's an experience, and this is why we have, you know, instead of abductees, now we have people calling themselves experiencers. So I think we're talking about personal experiences, and the way that combines all these things together is that, you know, it's something that a person can have happen to them, and whether it comes from inside their mind, through their perceptual abilities and all their senses, or there's something physically there. And I think Paul would argue it doesn't really matter, because it's more about the phenomenon itself, that, you know, these things have an effect on people, and perhaps there's some subconscious effects and so forth. So I'd have to lean in the direction of a personal experience rather than a physical phenomena. Again, I tend to be a doubting Thomas. You know, I know all the arguments why there shouldn't be Sasquatch running around Minnesota, and why there shouldn't be any lake monsters in some of the isolated freshwater lakes and things like that. So I don't know if these things are real or something else that people are misperceiving. But the desire to have these phenomena experienced by people is very, very strong. And I know sociologists and psychologists share this idea in the sense that I've said this before, that if there isn't a physical phenomenon, there's at the very least a psychological or a sociological phenomenon. And in any one of those cases, it should be studied methodologically and scientifically, because there's a lot of really good information that can be gained by looking at these phenomena with a really good stoic eye. So,
right. Kingsbury's, I think he's a cultural geographer.
Geographer, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's looking at the way that these reports and relate to the people, mm-hmm. and the way the people relate to where they are with respect not only to the physical geography but the culture itself. And I think you make a really great point there, that there is a lot of connections to be made there that are worthy of study in their own right.
Absolutely. And Paul's thesis, like his doctoral thesis, is interesting. And most people don't know that doctoral theses on UFOs and cryptids and so forth are being written all the time. In fact, I saw one list or a spreadsheet that included hundreds, literally hundreds of doctoral and master's theses about UFOs. So it's not really that there's an invisible college, because it's not that invisible. There are people studying the UFO phenomenon and other Fortean phenomena all the time and getting published, doing scientific research. So,
right. Yeah, I ran across one from Australia not long ago. They had gotten their PhD in ufology.
Yeah.
I think their main thing was some sort of psychology, but still, you know, they were able to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of really good work done, and most people aren't aware of this. They think, oh, UFOs, it's all crackpots and whatnot, but there's some good scientific work. I mean, I had my own little version of an invisible college when I was doing my research on UFOs during my undergraduate years. My master's thesis advisors, you know, would talk with me. They would say, what's new in the UFO scene? You want to talk about this? And, you know, what are your theories and what are the cases? They were fascinated with this sort of thing. You know, I had people in the physics department offering to test some of the radioactive material found at UFO sites.
I mean, the interest is there, not necessarily for them to publish it, but, you know, if I'm going to publish things and talk about them publicly, I need to back them up scientifically. And, you know, there's a lot of science going on. I actually received a citation from a university for my public education about UFOs. And, you know, it was very surprising because, you know, they don't hear a lot about honors like that. And I don't think I'm the only one who gets that type of citation.
Well, how did that happen exactly?
Well, there are service awards and education awards, and I was nominated by somebody. I actually, to this day, don't know who nominated me. But when I was presented with the award and, you know, at the podium in front of everybody, they read out the citation, and it was something along the lines of, you know, Chris Rakowski for his outstanding work in educating the public about astronomy and strange phenomena such as UFOs. And, you know, it was a great honor.
When was this?
This was, I'm thinking 10 years ago now.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. That's really great to hear.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you were, last I heard, you were actually working at the university there as well.
Yeah, I still am. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit here, but I just received an inquiry from another university inquiring if I was interested in donating my papers.
Excellent.
Somebody here feels that you're not long for this world.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's come time, high time. Right. Well, you know, they have already posted my UFO magazine from the 70s and 80s online, so maybe they figure I'm about to leave also. But I am also a wee bit older than you. We've got more to come with Chris Rutkowski, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work, because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today, for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.